The Lord has really put a word on my heart this morning. There are several that are not here. And I was saying, Lord, now you put this message on my heart, and it has to be a reason. And faith is something that you just walk with. Because you're here this morning, obviously, God wants to speak to your heart. He spoke to mine this week, still speaking to my heart this week. And it's so important that you need to know why that in your Christian walk that you can survive. Let me put it this way, why you have been surviving. Why you have been surviving. You go through a lot of trials, a lot of problems, and it's not just that God's picking on you, it's just life sometimes. God does us tests and trials, and we pray that we come out like pure gold, and all the dross and the bad things will come floating to the top and be taken off. But life as it is, sometimes is a challenge. Problems come along, difficult situations. But yet you are so resilient in your faith in God and in your walk with God that even though sometimes you may stumble, you may falter along the way a little bit, yet you seem to survive over and over and over again. And I've come to the conclusion, if you want to survive and you want to live a successful, victorious life, you want to prosper, be blessed, your whole household, you can be. You absolutely can be. You really can be. But I believe the Lord wants to talk to us a little bit this morning. Before that happens, could we just stand together? This is another old song. Love it. Tis so sweet. Trust in Jesus. I love it. Had his word. I love it. Upon his promise, just to know thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how trust him. 'Tis so sweet, so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know the saith the Lord. trust him. Oh, let's love him together, shall we? We love you. So sweet to trust in your word, Lord. O'er and o'er, God, we trust you, we trust you, we trust you. Ever-present help in the time of need, in the time of trouble. Thank you, Father. You may be seated. You have your Bibles. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. We're going to read a few scriptures here this morning. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, verses 14 through 16, and then we'll be reading back to verse number 11. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. How many believe that? That's your foundation. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Now back to verse number 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. Whose seed is in itself. Amazing. Everything that prospers has a seed in itself. Now, let me just throw one more scripture in, if you have just a moment. Let's go to John chapter 1, verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. How can God produce what He produces? Because the seed is in Himself. So when He speaks it, it has to come forth. Amen? Let me talk to you this morning a little bit about God speaks a creative word. God speaks, and a bunch of you people need it in your life. You need God to speak something into your life. Even more so, He's probably even already spoken into your life. You just let it need to grow. What God spoke to you a long time ago is still real today. You know, seeds can germinate for a long time. It has been proven that when they excavated in the pyramids in Egypt, and they would find seeds 3,000 years old or more, they can take those same 3,000-year-old seeds and plant them, and they would germinate and they would grow. It's the same thing with the Word of God. God's Word is the seed. And the productiveness of that seed is with inside that Word. The Holy Spirit, through Peter, said God's Word is a seed. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. You were not born into the kingdom of God by corruptible seed. Not the seed of this world. Not the attitude of this world. Not the complexity of this world. You was brought into this world by incorruptible seed. That seed was through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Never will it ever go away. Never can anybody ever take it away. It is there established forever. God's Word is alive. It is alive no matter how long ago God planted into your heart and planted into your spirit. That seed is still there and it's alive. I want you to turn to somebody on either side of you and say this: God is working in your favor. Come on, now say it again like you mean it. I don't care how much you dislike him, tell him that one more time. God is working in your favor. You see, the Word of God produces reality. The God of the beginning speaks, and it becomes what he declares. God will give you a word before he explains the word. Let me say that again. God will give you a word into your spirit before he will ever explain the word. Amen. God will give you a word before he explains the word. By his stripes, you're healed. Does it make any difference what that lump in your body says? Does it make any difference what the doctor tells you what you have to do? There is a word that produces within inside of itself. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. Say the word.
The word.
Say it again, the word.
The word.
Word produces reality in our lives, church. Precious God. In verse 3 of Genesis chapter 1, it says, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." If God says it, he cannot lie about it. You don't sound convinced to me about that. If God says it, he cannot lie. Well, what's the problem? You're not letting the seed germinate. You're not letting the word germinate. What does that mean? You're not allowing it to grow. If you look across a field you sowed seed in and nothing is popping up, you say, well, it must be a bad seed. God's word is never a bad word. It will always produce if you allow it to germinate. How do we allow God's word to germinate? We do it through faith. God, you spoke it. I believe it. What's that song say? And it's so. You said it. I believe it. And it's so. When I look at this third verse of Genesis chapter 1, God said that there be light and there was light. But it wasn't until the 14th verse that God created the sun and the moon. God will give you a word. Come on. He'll give you a creative word before he explains his word. You know, how can it be that God said it to be light and there was light when he hadn't made the moon, hadn't made the sun, he hadn't made the stars, yet there was light? Let me tell you what. God will illuminate your spirit before he ever will explain to you what he's doing in your life or what the outcome is going to be. There is that inspiration. God, you said it. I believe it, and it's so. The word of God is that positive reality. I believe it is so. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Peter said that based upon the word of God when Jesus said in Matthew 28, go baptize, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Well, that's a positive word. Peter reacted upon the positive word of God. It produced 3,000 souls that day were baptized because as many as gladly received the word. Everybody say the word.
Word.
Come on, are you receiving the word this morning? Don't sit in your puddle of tears that God's not doing nothing for you. He doesn't hear you. He doesn't care about you. He doesn't see you. He doesn't concern himself about you. Not true. Because he already spoke the word. He that believeth on me and is baptized. A true revelation of God's word is the single most important element, I believe, of a victorious Christian life. This is what God's been dealing with me this week. And I hope he deals with you before this message is finished. In Mark chapter 4, the Lord taught three parables which illustrated that the word is to the kingdom of God what a natural seed is to a harvest. The first of three parables, the story of the sower, is the key to unlocking all of the word of God in Mark chapter 4, verse 13. And if we don't understand these truths, Jesus said, we won't understand any of his other parables. So you have to understand the sower and the seed before you can ever understand any of the parables that Jesus spoke. I believe there are many life-changing truths in the parables that Jesus gave us in Mark. Powerful truth, awesome truth, life-changing truth. But you have to understand to get the full benefits of Jesus' teaching, the Lord used the comparison of the word to a law of nature that is unchangeable, not an institution of man. Church, religion is an institution of man. Man will change it. You can start out in the first century baptizing in the only name that has a saving power, the name of Jesus Christ. And by the end of the second century, going to the third century, man changes his concept on what he thinks and believes God is and changes the formula of baptism. What God established is always going to be established as his true word. Here's what I mean. You can cheat on a multiple area of systems that men have created. The legal system can be beaten, letting the guilty go. Your educational system can be beaten, passing students who haven't really learned or even earned the right to pass to a higher grade. But you can't change seed time and harvest. You can't change it. You sow the seed, it's going to grow. You cultivate the seed, it's going to grow. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I know it's going to grow. I don't know what day it's going to come forth, but it's going to grow. One of the greatest revelations I had was when I was praying one time at the altar years ago, asking God why this and why that. And so God sort of took me by the nap of the spiritual neck, and I was at the altar praying, and he talked to me. I may have said this before, but it's for somebody's benefit here this morning. He said, it takes so long to break up the ground. Plow it, that is. Turn the sod over. Sometimes our heart, our soul, our spirit needs to be plowed up. Turn it over a little bit. Allow something to be planted within inside of it. Amen? Don't let the ground get hard. Don't let your heart get hard. Don't let your spirit get hard. Don't let your spirit get bitter. Don't get cross in your life. Don't let these things begin to harden your heart where nothing can be sown, because a seed was sown upon the hard ground and the birds came along, which was the devil, the evil spirits, and ate up the seed. You cannot get anything from God if your heart is hard and you refuse to receive the seed. If you refuse to receive the word, there's no hope. Can I get an amen somewhere? Amen. Give me an amen, Dave. Yeah, go. You cannot change seed time and harvest. Then he said, it takes a long time to harrow. For you non-farmers, that is a big rake with spikes in it. You'd run it across the plowed field and break up all those clods. You're getting ready to plant something. You'd go in and you'd plant the seed. And God said, it takes so long for that seed to germinate. Then that seed begins to push up through the soil. It's a struggle. Will I ever get my prayer answered? Will God ever do the thing He said He's going to do? Yes, He will. Yes, He will. I said, yes, He will if you hold on. And He said, eventually it'll push up the clods. It'll begin to grow. Our Lord chooses to compare the way His word works to a seed. I see this very plainly in the scriptures. Because there is this germination process of the word of God in your life that takes time and can't be avoided. Can't be avoided. Really can't. For some of you sitting here this morning, for some of you listening online this morning, God has given you the word, given you a promise a long time ago. Might have been when you were a small child. Maybe you might be in your 50s, 60s now. I'm here to tell you, God's word will not return to Him void. Amen. What He planted, He will perform if we allow it to come to maturity and we help it through faith to prosper. Amen? Amen. The seed is the word of God and the ground is our heart. Our hearts were created by God to bring forth fruit when His word is planted inside our heart. Just as the seed has to remain in the ground over time to germinate, so the word of God has to abide within us. Let His word abide in us. John 15 and 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. It is important that if God says it, we'll allow it to germinate within our heart. God, your word declares it. I believe it. I think it's true. He said, my word abide in you. You shall ask whatever I will. You see, if you have the word of God, it's a promise of God. And if you abide in the word, He said, I will do it. If you believe the word, trust my word, I will perform it for you. What would happen if you planted a seed in the ground and then dug it up each morning to see if anything had happened? After a while, you're going to get disappointed. It would die and never be produced. You have to have faith that the seed is doing what God created it to do. Some people put God's word in their hearts for a day or two, but if they don't see fruit almost immediately, they dig it up and say, it must not be true. God's not going to do it. God's not working my behalf, whatever the excuse may be. I want to tell someone this morning here, maybe more than one somebody, you have to leave it in the ground over time. You have to leave it in your heart over time. Then there are also different stages of growth. Mark chapter 4, verse 28 says, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. It takes a time to produce that. It will be produced. In a sense, Jesus was giving them a test. On the same day that He taught them the principles of God's word as a seed, He gave them a seed. He said, let us pass over to the other side. He didn't say, let's go halfway across and drown. The disciples had a seed from the lips of the Creator that gave them authority over the creation. What happened? A 2.5-hour trip turned into a fight for the disciples' life. Instead of using the seed the Lord had given them, they did all they knew to do in the natural and then got put out with the Lord because He wasn't doing something for them. They said in verse 38, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Oh God, didn't you hear our prayer? God's speaking to some of you here this morning on a Labor Day. Labor Day weekend. After all, you don't think God hears your prayer. God's not moving. God's not answering your prayer. God's not healing your body. God's not making a way. God's not opening up a door. God's not giving you a pay increase. All the things that God's not doing. You got a long list of what God's not doing. He put a word in you. He put a word in you. Come on, let it grow. Come on, turn loose of it. Call it with some faith. Let God bless it and God multiply it. Come on, somebody say amen. Help me out here this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. This wasn't cabin fever they was having. Jesus was in an open boat full of water. He was sloshing around with them. He was well aware of the problem, the storms, the plight they were in. They wanted him to pick up a bucket and start bailing. Come on, God, bail me out of this. What are you doing? Don't you care? We're going to perish. The world's going to crush us. Family situation is going to be disastrous. How did Jesus respond? Did he apologize and say, I'm sorry, guys. I was really tired. I was just really tired. I had to get, you know, a few winks of sleep here. He didn't do that. Instead, he said, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Jesus was telling them that they should have still the storm. If they would have operated in faith instead of fear, that's exactly what they could have done. I have given you all power, all authority in my name. Come on, if you can say, the devil, get thee behind me in the name of Jesus Christ, and he has to flee, you know that, you believe that, you've used it. Come on, use it on some other things as well. In the name of Jesus, take your hands off my kids. In the name of Jesus, take your hands off my family. In the name of Jesus, come on, God, put the seed within inside of you. It will reproduce itself in the power and the glory and its might. The Lord did its job by giving them the seed of his word. Their job was to take the seed and to make it work. Listen, church, it's our job to make it work. Oh, send me another evangelist, see, and maybe he'll get it done. Forget it. Oh, the preaching of the world won't do any good if you won't jumpstart yourself. Amen. Come on, if you don't act upon what you hear, yeah. If you don't respond to what you hear, yeah. What's more hearing going to do for you? Nothing. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Maybe. Possibility. I don't know. It's not been going real good lately. This I know. This I know. This I know. God has done his part. He's given you a word. For example, the Lord doesn't give us money directly. Deuteronomy 8 and 18 says the Lord gives us the power to get wealth. So why am I broke? Because you're not getting it. Strange looks here this morning, but we're on the track. Come on. Come on. Greatest country in the world, and immigrants come into the country and they start a business and they prosper because they work at it. Why isn't the church growing? Because you're not working at it. I'll still shake your hands on the way out the door somewhere. I love you. Come on. Stop being sad and down, forlorn. Just, you know, miserable. When you get to heaven, say, God, I know you gave me the Holy Ghost to be happy, but I'm just sorry. I just was miserable all my life. Can you imagine God said, what? Didn't work for you? You know why it doesn't work for you? Because you don't allow it to work for you. You want to live in misery or your sadness or your sorrow, or you want to hate somebody so bad or dislike somebody so bad you can't help yourself. You see, I found this to be true. When you're by yourself and you're just thinking in your own mind, your own brain all the time, you will think up all kinds of things, and after a while you convince yourself it's true. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. More you think about something negative, the more negative it becomes in your life and the more negative you have towards other people around you. I will get to that a bit later on because that's powerful. The difference, what I'm trying to tell you something, church, is, and what God is trying to tell you through the Holy Ghost, the power is in His promises. It's in His Word. And as we plant those promises in our hearts, the truth of His Word germinates and prosperity comes. Healing operates the same way. There are numerous scriptures that get the point across that God's Word is health to our flesh. Here's two of them, Proverbs 4:22. For they are life unto those that find them, health to all their flesh. Psalms 107, verse 20. He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Have you ever asked that, oh God, would you send somebody by with a word for me today? I need to hear a word. Well, what are you going to do with that word? I'm going to let it be planted in my spirit, planted in my heart, planted in my life. Have hope. Amen. God said it, you cannot lie. And if I said you to send me by somebody and give me a word, and somebody comes by and gives me a word, I'm going to say, God, that's from you. I'm going to hold on to it. I'm going to believe it until it comes to pass, until it comes true. Come on. Some of you, it's hard. I have a hard time of smiling this morning. Because you're convinced your smiler is broke. Genesis 1 and 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. God wants to move upon you. Come on, God wants to move upon this church, on this local assembly. Every birth comes out of darkness. Every birth comes out of darkness. Darkness, birth, life. Let me tell you something, what I find here in this first chapter of Genesis. And verse 1 points out, in this very first verse, the Bible denies numerous fundamental errors of human thinking. It denies atheism, for it claims God exists. It denies pantheism, the belief that God is in everything and everything is a part of God, for it shows to me that God is the master distinct from which He had made. It denies humanism, for it shows that God, not man, is the highest intelligence and power in the universe. It denies evolution, for it says God created all things. It denies materialism, for it says God is eternal, and matter had a beginning when it was created by His Word. Let me tell you something, God's Word is all powerful. All establishing. All strength. Why am I going through my trials and my problems? Why do I face the hard things that I face? When you're talking about seed, when you're talking about planting seed, there is a happening that takes place for a seed to be able to grow. It's called scarification. Scarification. Why does a seed need to be scarred? The seed planted into the earth, it's dark. But as the earth is in its movement, as the seed is surrounded by rocks, abrasive, earthly things, your life surrounded by this world can be and is abrasive to you. It will work on you. It will scar you. But it is important that you understand the operation of the scarification of your life. Because without the scarification, without the cutting of the seed, without the opening of the seed, then the outside moisture cannot enter into that seed that gives it life. You go through some hard times, hard, difficult times. God, why are you taking me through this? It's scarification. It's so your spirit can open up. It's because that the Spirit of God can come in and begin to feed the very seed of the Word of God that's planted within inside your soul. Oh, come on, church. Come alive. Come on, somebody. Get a hold of this. It's between life and death and eternity. Your walk with God is important to this situation. And believe you me, after my eye surgery, I can see when you're not worshiping. Hessler, you can used to hide from me, but you can't hide anymore. Scarring is important. Sometimes scarring is the process by which we're able to be set free. You go through some trials and tests and problems. It seems so hard, you know, if you can get through it or not. You listen to a song or something and your hands go up and you begin to worship God. Nobody's around. You're not sitting in church. Maybe in the car. Maybe your home. Maybe at the office. I don't know. Maybe behind some wooden pallets at the factory or somewhere, but you feel you're going through such a brokenness, you're going through such a hard place in your life, and you don't know if you can take another step. You can't stand it anymore. It's this break, and you've had such a hard shell around your life for so long. You have not let not anybody get in, let alone God. You haven't allowed God to get into your heart, God to get into your spirit. You've hardened yourself. And the sooner you allow God to break that outer skin, break your spirit, a broken and a contrite spirit, for such God will not turn away. Why can I not feel God? Perhaps He's turning you away because you have not allowed Him to open you up to let the power and the Spirit and His mercy and His grace to come flowing into the Word of God He's planted into your spirit a long time ago. You think by being hard that you're doing the right thing. You're cutting out the world. Nobody's going to hurt you. Nobody's going to touch you. Nobody's going to affect you. Let me tell you, you're doing the wrong thing. For it's far better to fall upon the rock and be broken than have the rock fall upon you and crush you to powder. Don't have such a tough exterior. Don't try to turn everybody off that tries to help you. There's sometimes you glory in the loss or the tribulation you're going through. Why? Because that gives God the glory, gives God the honor. People sit around and say, how are they going through this? How are they making it? How are they surviving? It's because they've allowed to be broken, allowed the scarification to open up the outer rim, the outer shell of their life, and the flood of the Spirit and the mercy of God that come flowing into them. I can do all things, Paul said, through Christ that strengtheneth me. Where does the strength come? It comes from the Spirit of the Lord. It comes from the Word of God. How does a seed know how to grow? Oh, plants can sense the direction of gravitational field and orientate themselves accordingly. This is called genomics. It's a mixture of plants and phototexis. It's growing towards the light source. And when you're growing towards the light source, when that seed, which is the Word of God, is growing towards the light source, He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Why? Because that's the source of who He is. Verse 14, the moon, the sun, that's not who He is. The moon, the sun, and the stars, in that sense, He is the light. And in one day, when we get to heaven, there'll be no need for a moon or sun, nor the planets or the stars. There'll be one eternal day, light, with no end to it. Everybody knows what down is. Everybody knows which direction down is? If you don't shake your head, let me wave your hands. You know what I'm talking about. Anybody know which way up is? You know what brings you down? You don't have to speak it out. You know what things in your life that brings you down? Then don't go that direction. Go towards the light. You know what brings you depression? Then don't go there. Go towards the light. Go towards the source. Go towards life. The Word is inside of you. The Word is inside of you. The Word is inside of you. It knows which way the light is. Come on, some of you need to grab a hold of this. Stop living in depression, down and out. God doesn't know your name, where you live, and all that kind of junk. God created you. God gave you a Word. God put it in your spirit. God gave you a promise. God spoke into your spirit. Don't let this world, don't let the things of this world pull you down. You can take, I want to go back to the next one before that. You can take a seed and plant it into a pot. It's dark down there in the bottom soil. There's no light, no sunshine. So how does it know which way is up and which way is down? It does know. The seed knows. The seed routinely sends shoots up towards the sky and roots the other way. Darkness doesn't confuse them. Somehow they get it right. Just like you get it right. That's why you will survive your trials, survive your heartaches, survive your disappointments, survive the tragedy, survive the things that came to me and are going against you, survive your health problems, survive this and survive that. Why? Because the Word inside of you knows which way is up, where the light is, where hope is, where power is, where growth is. Darkness cannot keep you bound. Your sickness cannot keep you down. Your affliction cannot keep you down. Your stubbornness can't keep you down. Your hate can't keep you down. Oh, Shatamohori, Allah Mahasadaya. The seed knows. The Word knows. Come on. Come on. Come on. If you've got the word of God inside of you, it knows which way is up. Stop fighting it. Stop holding it back. Some of you feel dead. Feel empty inside. I'm not going to do a samba. Seed. I don't care where you find yourself. You can be upside down. The seed knew which way to go. I said the seed will know which way to go. Some of you find yourself crossways in life. Crossway with family members. Crossway with life in itself. I don't care where the seed, it can be laying halfway down. It can be crossed with itself. But the seed will know where the light is. You can go on the other side, same way. The seed is the word of God. For some of you, you've closed it out. You won't believe it. You won't trust it. You've been living this, walking this way, coming to church for umpteen years, and you still act like there is no God. God wants you to know He's still alive. God wants to know He still loves you. God wants to know that He still cares about you. You have just got to allow Him in. To cultivate, to activate the word. And the next one. I don't care how dead you think you may be. I don't care how many around you think you, how dead you may be. Come on, next one. It may look like you've fallen over. You're dead. Done for. But there is something alive about the seed. Come on, something about the seed. The seed knows. It knows which direction the light is.